All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Sivan, Habar Lino Latova, Avram Hashem, the Kelman of Eretz Yisrael, for dedicating all the Shomer and Drashos this month in memory of Avram's father, Rafael Yechiel Ben Avram. Zichron the Bracha. Our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, and the Schluss of continued health for Shulamis Chana Bas Susha, and for an ultimate Rafua Shalema. But say, of course, as always, we dedicate the learning and the Schluss of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and the merit and the Schluss of our holy soldiers. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu merits Hashem continue to shower them with incredible Shmira and Hashkacha. And may we zoche merits Hashem to continue Yeshua's in the Chamas. Well, so with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Chav Ches 28. We are picking up on Chav Zayin Amud Beis 27b. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Some really great Gemara ahead of us. Some interesting Shechit Halachos. So we are up to, we left off in the third wide line on 27b. Darish over Glila. So there was an over Glila means there was a guy who was traveling in the Galil. A Talmud Chacham was traveling in the Galil, and he said as follows. He said, I shouldn't say a Talmud Chacham, a person, a scholar who was traveling in the Galil, and he said the following: Behema shenivres minei abashach shera b'shnei simanim. So behema, animals which are created from the land, from the earth. So therefore, again, their mode of shechita is to go ahead and to slaughter with two simanim, right, the kana and the veshet, the trachea and the esophagus. Dogim shenivru min amayim, fish which were created from water. Hachsherim bevelo klum. Ultimately, again, they don't need any form of shechita. Now, again, I will say, we saw this already in yesterday's daf. We'll have to further discuss this, exactly what the story is with fish. In other words, can you eat the live fish? Does the fish have to be dead, right? In yesterday's daf, we saw that fish require, all they require is asifa, is collecting. So again, more on fish in Eretz Hashem. Of shenivra min arakak, birds which were created from the mud. Now, in this model, what he's trying to espouse over here is birds were kind of created from a middle ground, right? Not water like fish, not pure earth like animals, but rather mud. So what's the halacha? Hechsheru b'simen echad. Ultimately, again, you can check them, and they only require one simen. Okay, Amr Shmuel Kaputka Teida. I'll prove this. Shari ofos yishan kaskeses baraglehem kidogim. What's the proof? What's the proof that birds are a little bit like the in between fish and behemoths and animals? That there are many birds that have webbed feet. Right, that webbed feet, foot almost resembling a fin, almost a fin-like item, and therefore, again, you see that they have qualities of creatures. Again, I will say, this is not really a halachic statement. We're gonna talk about this in just a little bit, but it is important to note that for our purposes, we do have these three categories of animals for shechita purposes. We do have our behema, which requires two simanim, or at least the rove of two simanim. We have our oaf, which requires one simen, or at least the majority, the rove of one simen. And then we have dugim. And what do dugim require? Nothing. In other words, you have to catch it. You need a sifa. The Gemara says this as va'od shalu. Furthermore, they asked, kasuv echanom ha'ayam le'kinish shalom ha'ayam sharetz nefesh chayyo v'of yofif alma mimaya ivru. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. The Gemara notes that the psukim seem to contradict themselves. So on one hand, the pasuk says, Hashem said, let the water teem, right, with living things, and the birds of the sky will fly, which sounds like birds were created from the water. Uksiv, in the pasuk says, ve'yitz Hashem elokim min ha'adama kol chaya sasad ve'yitz kol of ha'shamayim. Then the pasuk says that Hashem created all chaya sasad and all the birds from the sky. Alma me'arev, that makes it sound like birds were created from the earth. So which one is it? Were birds created from the water or were birds created from the earth? Amru lo, he responded, min arakak nivru. They were created from mud. They're created from mud. The in-between, that's the reconciliation. So the Gemara says, ra'u tamidam mistaklim zeh bazeh. He saw his tamidim looking at each other, like a little bit like, that's a strange answer, right? That's what the pasuk means. One pasuk says water, one pasuk says earth, and so really that's actually the pshat, that birds were created from the mud. So the Gemara says, Amar lahem, kasha be'enechem shedachisi es ayvei v'kash. So ultimately, again, is it bothering you that I deflected my enemies? This is referring to the over Gilila, that I deflected my enemies with such like a like a like an argument like straw, like a nothing argument like straw. In other words, I acknowledge what I said is not really meant to be halacha. Rather, again, what is? The Gemara says, minamai nivru. Ultimately, again, birds were created from the water. Interestingly enough, birds were created from the water, not from the earth. And the pasuk that associates the Ov with the Adama is talking about the fact that Hashem brought all of the Ovos to Adam. As he brought all of the animals to Adam, one by one. V'lamevin ala Adam. Ultimately, again, why did he bring them to Adam? Likros lahem shem, to name them. Adam was vested with the responsibility of naming all of the creations. Really incredible. V'yesh omrim b'lashon acher. Others explain a little bit differently. Amar li osa hegmon. Others have the reverse. That the answer that he gave to his students, he gave to this hegmon, to this official, and ultimately, again, the answer that he gave to the official, he gave to his students. Okay. It will say, bottom line, there seems to be some ambiguity. As well, I should say, there's no ambiguity by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There seems to be some ambiguity by us in terms of where birds were created from, because the psukim themselves seem to be a little bit contradictory. So possibility one is that they were created from the mud, right? Hence the two psukim, one talking about water, one talking about earth. Other possibilities are it's created from the water. And the pasuk by earth is talking about the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the birds as he did all of the animals before Adam to be named. Incredible. So the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda, we'll say, you know, it's interesting, just as to point out, it's really fascinating, this idea that Adam named all of the creatures, right? You would have thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the creator, kind of you get naming rights. You know, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu ceded and yielded those naming rights to Adam. Highlighting something very important. What's a name? The Gemara says, Minalon Dishmagaram. A name captures an essence of something. So what's beautiful to note is one of the most incredible qualities that man possesses is that we really are very intuitive. And we really do understand things beneath their superficial level. Sometimes we don't give ourselves credit for this, but we are much more intelligent and much smarter than we ever think. The fact that Adam was able to look at every single creation and was able to say, okay, you're a dog, right? You're a this, you're a that, and literally give every creation its name means that he was able to look at creation, able to understand what it was, what purpose it served, and gave it a name corresponding to that essence and that purpose. Which just tells us, I will say, that we possess so much depth and we possess so much understanding. Why am I sharing this with you? Because every single day we encounter problems. And usually what happens to most of us when we encounter challenge, we encounter problems, is what happens? We panic. And what happens when we panic? The sky's falling, we freeze. And okay, it's human nature. And the bigger the problem, the more severe the panic. We have the kelim, we have the tools to figure stuff out. We just have to take a deep breath and figure out, look at the situation, and analyze. Now granted, sometimes I need help, right? Sometimes things are just more complex and I need other people to help me, but you'd be surprised, 9 out of 10 times, if 8 out of 10 times, 7 out of 10 times, not less than 6 out of 10 times, right? You have the ability to look at a situation, take a step back and say, I got this. I can figure this out. That was the avoda of Adam. He was able to look at everything in this world and to understand where exactly everything fits, what it does, how it behaves, what it's supposed to represent. We can look at our situations in life. And if we take a deep breath, if we become a bit dispassionate, if we calm ourselves, don't fall into panic mode, we can problem solve so much. Gemara goes weiter. Gemara says, good. Okay, so this is pretty incredible. So Rav Yehuda says in the Rav Yitzchak ben Pinchas that mid the oraisa you don't have to shecht an oaf. Oaf, which means fowl, right? Fowl in general do not require shechita mid the oraisa. Okay, Shneimar, where do you get this from? V'shafach. Because it will say the pasuk uses the lashon of v'shafach v'ish ish min Yisrael min hagera gar b'sochem asher yatzud tzayit chaya oof asher yachal v'shafach es damo, he will spill its blood. Now, by the way, the topic of the mitzvah, which is a mitzvah, the topic of the pasuk, which is something we're going to spend a significant amount of time on, is the mitzvah of kisui hadam, covering the blood, which is only a din by chaya and ofos, non-domesticated animals, and fowl. That when you shech, you have to cover the blood. So the Torah uses the lashon of v'shafach, to spill. Shafach is different than v'shachat. So by behema, Torah uses the lashon of v'shachat, to slaughter. Here it just uses the lashon of v'shafach, which would seem to indicate to us that halacha l'maisa, oaf does not require shechita, it only requires shficha. B'shficha ba'amasagi ihachi. If that's the case, chaya nami. One second, but chaya is also mentioned in that pasuk. If that's the case, he's telling me that chaya doesn't require shechita, just requires shechita. By the way, what's the definition of shechita? It's anything. Stabbing the animal. Right? Whatever it is. Just something that would draw blood from the animal and cause it to die. So the Gemara says, no. Chaya is kish the psulem of dashen. Chaya is compared in a different pasuk, ultimately, again, to disqualified karbanos. So disqualified karbanos, as much as they cannot be offered up sacrificially, but halacha l'maaseh, they can be slaughtered for individual use. So that's a chaya. Va'od. Va'of nami is kish le behema. But of is also compared to a behema. D'chsiv zostras a behema va'of. The pasuk itself compares off to behema. Ha'ksiv v'shafach es damo. Yeah, but the pasuk does say, by oath, you shall spill its blood, which would seem to indicate to us that halacha l'maaseh, oath doesn't require shechita, it only requires shficha, to which the Gemara says, mistabra mishum desalak mine. So I'm sorry, omai chazes the shajilea oath, shaji achaya, but how do you know that the shafach goes on oath? Maybe it goes on chaya. Mistabra mishum desalak mine. Since oath is the last thing mentioned in the pasuk, ultimately, it makes sense that v'shafach is a modifier on oaf and not on chaya. Okay, so both say, bottom line, we are introduced to a dramatic statement of Rav Yehuda named Rav Yitzchak, namely that oaf does not require shechita midaraisa, it only requires shvicha. Kill it, however you want to kill it, but it doesn't require shechita. Let's analyze. May say, hashoche v'nesnav lo biyado, v'hanocher v'ma'aker potem v'lachasos. Yet they both say, what's that? The Braisa says that if you shecht a bird and it becomes an avela, you botch the shechita. Nocher means you stab it. Ma'akir, you uproot the simonim. In all of these cases, you end up with an invalid shechita. What's the halacha? Pater milachasos. You do not have to perform the mitzvah of kisui hadam. The mitzvah of covering the blood is only if you have a proper shechita. Now, one second. V'yamrit in shechita of minatora. And if you say that there's no shechita for an of midaraisa, nichiraso zohi shechitaso. Ultimately, again, the stabbing of the animal, is it shechita? So if that's the case, then it should require kisui hadam. Libay kisui. Mi sarvis ba'of. You think we're talking about an oaf? Lo b'chaya. We're talking about a chaya. We're not talking about an oaf. We're talking about a chaya. Okay? Tashma, last line of 27b. Hashochit v'tzarech l'dam. Chayiv l'chasa. So what's an interesting case over here? If I shecht an animal, and I am shechting it not as much that I need the meat, but I need the blood. We'll discuss why I need the blood in just a moment. Kesa du osa. What do you do? I'm sorry. Hashochet v'zarech l'dam chayiv l'chasos. If you're shechting, you don't need the meat, you need the blood, you still have a mitzvah of kisui hadam. So what should you do? Ketzer v'osa, onokro or okro. Ultimately, again, if you don't want to go ahead and have to do the mitzvah of kisui hadam, what do? Don't shecht it. Kill it some other way. Stab it. Uproot the simonim. Don't do shechita. So v'osa, what do you see from here? That if you don't do shechita, you don't have a mitzvah of kisui hadam, which indicates to us that oath does require actual shechita. Top of Chav Ches, 28a, my lav ba'ov tekaboy ledamei li'inika. Are we not talking about over here, the, an oaf, a bird, and what do you need the blood for? So we'll say it's an interesting fact. So apparently, if you have a moth problem with your clothing, one of the ways that you could avoid moths is by putting fowl blood on your clothing, right? Also will prevent you from wearing the clothing ever again. You know, but whatever, but at least you don't have a moth problem. Hey, so lemaisa, say, are we dealing with blood from fowl? Lo b'chaya. No, we're actually talking about blood from a chaya. D'kabay le'le d'me l'licha. Ultimately, again, where you're using the blood for dyeing purposes. Dyeing purposes. Okay, so bottom line, no raya. And so I'll say, so what we're left with still is the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. So I'll say, so just Rabbi Yehuda coming along and saying, midaraisa, there is no mitzvah of shechita by an oaf. Okay, the Gemara goes weiter. Tashma, Malach Besakin, we'll say 28a, third line down. Tashma, Malach Besakin, Tamim Begadah Be'Sabliyah. So we'll say if you do Malika with a knife. Now again, Rabbos, remember again, Malika is not done with a knife. Malika is only done with your fingernail. If you did Malika with a knife, what have you done? You've made the animal an Avela. Now remember again, when a bird becomes an Avela, how does it convey Tumah in a very unique way? Through swallowing. Right, when you swallow, when it's in your throat, that's when it conveys tumah to your person and to your clothing. Now, one second. The amrit in shchita la'of min haTorah. If you hold, like Rabbi Yitzchak was saying, like Rabbi Yehuda was saying, that there is no mitzvah of shchita for of min haTorah, nehi nami dechi tavar le'shidra u'mafrakes havi le'trefa. Even though when you go ahead and you break the neck bone and the spinal cord, so obviously the bird is going to be a trefa. Tehani la'sakin le'tara midin avela. At least allow the shchita to remove the nevela status, right? So remember again, whether an animal is a trefa or a nevela, you can't eat it. But there's a benefit to being a trefa over a nevela, which is trefa does not convey tumah. So at least go ahead and say like this, at least when you're going ahead and you're using the knife, at least go ahead and allow the shechita to purify the animal from the nevela. To which the Gemara says, "Who damer ki aitan?" He holds like the following tano: the sanyo, Rabbi Elazar kafar, Rabbi Omer, ma tamalomer ach kasher yachelas atzvi. So the pasuk over here says as follows: ach kasher yachelas atzvi ve'asayal. The same way that one is able to eat the tzvi, which is the deer, the ayal, which is the ram. Kain tochlenu hatami v'hatar yach. Kain tochlenu. So too, again, so shall you consume it, the tummy person and the tar person together. Now again, we'll see exactly what the context of that pasuk is. But the pasuk says as follows. V'chila mannu, Joshua says, V'chila mannu, mitzvi v'ayal. Now again, we came to learn ultimately again from the svi and the ayal. Me'ata harei ze balalamid v'nim salamid. Makish tzvi v'ayal l'psulei mekdashim. I will say, the pasuk over here is talking about psulei mekdashim. That if you have a karban, which is disqualified for use, so what happens? It can no longer be offered up sacrificially. However, you can eat it. Now obviously there's a process of redemption. And when you redeem it, how do you eat it? You eat it just like a regular animal. You eat it just like a regular animal. So the Gemara says, listen to this. Makish tzvi v'ayal psulei mekdashim. So the Torah compares the tzvi and the ayal to disqualified karbanos. Ma psulei hamekdashim b'shchita af tzvi v'ayal b'shchita. Just like psulei mekdashim, you have a karban that was disqualified. You redeemed it. Now it's a regular mundane animal. You could eat it. But how do you eat it? How do you eat it? You need shchita. So just like psulei hamekdashim requires shchita, so too the tzvi and the ayal require shchita as well. But who requires shchita? Dafka a tzvi and an ayal. Va'of ein lo shchita midivrei Torah ela midivrei sofrim. But what do you see from here? You see from here that it's only a tzvi and an ayal. I will say now, tzvi and ayal are behema and chaya. So behemas and chayas ultimately again require shchita. Of does not. Of is excluded from this. Of does not require shchita midaraisa, rather only midrabanan. Okay, man tana the palag of Rabbi Elazar HaKavar. Who argues Rabbi Elazar HaKavar? Rabbi, what does Rabbi say? Desanya, Rabbi Omer, v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. The pasuk says that you shall shecht it as I have commanded you. Malame, shenetztave Moshe ala veshet v'ala kona v'al rov echad ba'of v'al rov shnayim v'behema. So Bosei, what does this mean? Now here's what's interesting, Bosei. We were talking about this yesterday, that the halachos of shchita are a halacha la Moshe Misinai. Right, everything about Shkiz Lacha Moshe Misinai. Now, it's important to note there is a pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, slaughter it as I commanded you." Which that's the pasuk of shchita. So the Gemara says, "Now, so what that tells us is there's a construct of shchita. Now, what doesn't the Torah tell us? What doesn't the Torah tell us? What it is? What it is? Like, okay, I understand. There's a process called shchita or zvicha. Where is it? What is it? What do you have to cut? How do you have to cut it? Oh, that's where the halacha l'Moshe Misinai comes in. And the halacha l'Moshe Misinai says, first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu was told where the shechita take place, by the throat, specifically by the neck. Specifically where? By the kona, the trachea, and the veshet, the esophagus. Furthermore, what else is Moshe Rabbeinu commanded? Arov echad ba'of, that by a bird, you have to cut the majority of one simen, and by a behema, you have to cut the majority of two simanim. And Rabbi Sai, this is how we paskin halacha lemaisa. So this is very important. So midah araisa, I know that there's a concept of shechita, but I don't know what it is. The halacha lemoshe misina, the sinaitic law, Moshe Hashbaruch Hu kaveit to Moshe b'inah har Sinai, here's how you do it. And Rabbi Sai, bottom line, the way we paskin is, behemoths, animals, require the majority of two simanim. You have to cut the majority of both. Birds, midah araisa, we paskin not like Rabbi Yehuda. Birds, midah araisa, require one simon, and the majority of one simon. Fish require nothing. Now, fish are a little bit more explicit, because by fish, remember again, the Torah uses the lashon of asifa, to gather. Okay, incredible. Echad ba'of, so we're going to ask the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, you only have to shecht one simon by birds. Itmar. So we're going to say, here's what's interesting. We're going to now discuss, is there a particular simon? Now remember, obviously there's two simanim, the kana and the vesha, the trachea and the esophagus. So now the Mishnah Paskin, we just saw the halacha l'moshe misina, you only have to shecht one. The shayla is it one specific one, or either one of the two? Machlokes. Rav Nachman says, o veshet o kana. Rav Nachman says, either or. Whichever one you want, either the esophagus or the trachea. Rav Adabar Ava Amar Veshet Velo Kana. This is very interesting. Rav Adabar Ava says, no, Tafka has to be the esophagus and not the trachea. Okay, let's analyze. Rav Nachman Amar O Veshet O Kana. Rav Nachman said, either one. So the Gemara says, Echad Katani Echad Koldu, because the Mishnah says, Echad. Right? The Mishnah just says, what's the halacha? Hashochet Echad Ba'of. What does Echad mean? Whichever one you want. One of them. Whichever one. Take your choice. Rav Adabar Ava Amar Veshet Velo Kana. This is interesting. Rav Adabar Ava says, no. The Afrika has to be the Veshet. It has to be the esophagus and not the trachea. My Echad. What does Echad mean? Miyuchad. Ultimately, again, it means the singular one. The unique one. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Veshet. Miyuchad shebesimanamu. Shechios habehema talui bo. Okay, so we'll say, we actually learned this concept before, and many of you were bothered by it because we didn't get to it yet. There's a concept called the trefa, right? Trefa means an animal has some type of defect from which it will imminently die. Definition of imminent we'll discuss as well. Interestingly enough, when it comes to the trachea, apparently an animal could survive even if 50% of the trachea is cut. We know this because we learned this, right? We saw this halacha. Now remember again, if 50% of the trachea is cut and the shochet comes along and shechts the extra 1%, right? What? That's a kashu shechita, right? That works. Yet by the esophagus, any hole, any perforation in the esophagus makes the animal a trefa, right? So fascinating. So when it comes out, what do you see from here? You see from here, so the Gemara understands this to mean that the esophagus, so to speak, is much more essential for life than ultimately, again, the trachea is. Obviously, you need both of them, right? But this is at least the Gimartna again, Abosai. Remember, whenever we come to scientific knowledge, so remember again. Chazal are espousing what was known at the time. So again, correct? This is the reality Gimart is operating on. So therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, when it comes to trefas, any perforation in the esophagus makes the animal a trefa. By the kana, by the trachea, up to 50% could be cut, and the animal is not a trefa. Therefore, again, so Rav Adabar Ava says, you see from here that essentially, well, I'll use this term, that the veshet, the esophagus, is more quote unquote important than the trachea. Because of that, when the Mishnah says you should shecht one simon by a bird, one means the one. The one. What's the one? That's going to be the veshet, that's going to be the esophagus, and not the trachea. Incredible. That's the machlokas rosai. So misvei, let's analyze. Shacha, that's a veshet, v'yachagach, nishvot ha-gargeres, k'sheira. If you shechta the veshet, and afterwards the gargeres. Gargeres is another word for kana. Just by a bird, by an animal we call the trachea a kana. By an animal the trachea is called the kana. By the bird, the term that's used is gargeres, but it's the same thing. So ultimately, again, if you shechta the veshet, you cut the esophagus, and the trachea became dislodged, the bird is kasher, right? Because at the end of the day, all you need is one simen. Nishmatar gargeres v'yachakach shachat es haveshet psula. If the trachea got dislodged, and afterwards you shechted the esophagus, ultimately again the animal is pasul. Shachat es haveshet v'nimtzeis gargeres shmuta. If you shechted the veshet and then you saw the gargaris was dislodged, and you don't know, did it become dislodged before or after the shechita? This actually happened. And they said, ultimately, again, any safek in shechita is possible, which makes sense. We'll say, why? Why does that make sense? Any safek in shechita is a safek daraisa. Any safek daraisa is always dealt with l'chumra. V'ilu, interestingly enough, v'ilu shechita begargeres lo katani. But if you notice, we'll say the Mishnah, the Braisa over here, doesn't have a scenario where shechita is taking place with the gargeres, with the esophagus. With trachea. Mishum the gargeres avida l'shtemuti. That's because, again, apparently of the two, it is more common for the gargeres, for the trachea, to become dislodged. Okay, interesting. Tashma. Shachat shnei chatzai simanim ba'of psula. If you shechted two half simanim by a bird, the shechita is possible. Which makes sense. Why? Because what do you need by a bird? You need the majority of one simen. Vein sarach lomar bebehema. And it goes without saying in a behema. Behuda Rehuda says, ba'of ad sheyishchat esaveshat li'esavridin. By a bird, ultimately, again, by a bird, it is going to be possible until you shecht the veshet and the vridin. So Rav says, here's what's interesting, right? So the Gemara is mishum the veshet samach the vridin. Now we're going to get to the vridin today a little bit, but it's not because you have to shecht the veshet, right? It's not because you have to shecht the esophagus. Just because anatomically, as we're going to see, the esophagus is closer to the vridin, to those veins, right? So because of that, it makes more sense just to do everything in one fell swoop. Tashma, shachat chatzi gargeres v'shah kedei shechit acheres. If you shechted half of the trachea and then you paused long enough to go ahead and do an entire shechita, the gamra, and then you finish the shechita, shechitas ha'ksheira. The shechita is going to be good. My love, ba'of, are we not talking about an oaf by a bird? Oh my gamra, what does it mean that you completed it? Gamra la gargeres, you finished up the gargeres. Lo, be'behema, no, I was talking about a behema. Oh my gamra, what does it mean that you finished it? Gamra la shechita kula, you finished up the shechita in its entirety. So we'll say, so remember again, we're just trying to figure out, we're still in the midst of a simple machlokas. What's the machlokas? When we say everyone's agreeing you have to shecht only one simen in the bird, the shaila is there a preferred simen or a required simen? So again, Rav Nachman saying no. O kana o veshet. Cut whatever you want. Rav Adabar Ava saying no, tafka has to be the veshet. Tafka has to be the esophagus and not the trachea. So let's analyze more. So tashma, hari shahaya chatzi kana pagum, v'hosif alav kol shuhu. We'll say, so watch this. If half of the trachea was cut already, and you added 50%, and you cut just a little bit more, what's the halacha? V'gamro shechita sokshera. Ultimately, again, the shechita is going to be good. We spoke about this already before. My love, ba'ov, we're not talking about by a bird. Oh, my gumro, what does it mean that you finished it? Gumro lakana, you finished up the trachea. And you see over here that even cutting the trachea by itself allows the bird to be kosher. Lo bebehema, that means by behema. Oh, my gumro, what does it mean, gumru? Gumro leveshet, you finished cutting the esophagus after you cut the trachea. Okay, tashma, ketzad molkin chatos ov, hadi du malika, on a bird chatos. So we saw this already before. How do you do malika? You go ahead and you cut. You cut the shedra, you cut the spinal cord, the neck bone, below row of basar. Remember, yeah, we saw this with leaving the majority of the flesh intact. Otherwise, you make the animal a treifa. Ad shemagia leveshet o lekana. Until you get to the veshet or the kana. Higia leveshet o lekana. Chotech simen echad v'row of basar imo. And again, once you get to the kana or the veshet, cut whichever one you want. Then go back and cut the surrounding tissue around the neck. The Gemara says, Uba ola shnayim o rov shnayim. By an ola, two of the simanim or the majority of the simanim. Both say, what do you see from here? Point over, you see from here, you could cut any simen you want. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Tiyufta, Rav Adabar Ava Tiyufta. We've effectively refuted the position of Adabar Ava. Rav Adabar Ava wanted to say it's dafka the esophagus and not the trachea. Turns out, not true. Not true. Either one, right, cutting either one of the simanim, ultimately, again, is going to work. To which the Gemara says, my haviyallah, nu, so what's the resolution? The Gemara says, what's the resolution? My haviyallah, okay, what are you talking about? So we just resolved it. That by birds, you have to cut one simen, and you have the right to cut whichever simen you want. To which the Gemara says, no, dilma shiny hasam, dika shedra mafrakes. Maybe it's different, again, I'll say, maybe it's different by karbanos. Right, because by Malika, you do have the whole issue over here of the neck bone and the spinal cord. There's a lot more cutting. To which the Gemara says, Somai, So we'll say, so what is, in general, so leaving aside kabanas, what is the halacha stam an of? You're shechting a bird. So you've established you only have to shecht one simen. Is there a preference as to which simen you're supposed to shecht? So Tashma, it's an interesting case here. Dahu bar avza, tava bey rava. So we'll say there was a goose in the house of Rava. And its neck, the animal was injured in some way. Its neck was blood-stained. Okay, so now watch this. Amar Rava, so now they had to figure out, like, what is this? Is this animal a trefa? Not a trefa? So Amar Rava, Rava said, Heichi, was it, actually, before you go ahead and you turn the page, look at the last Rashi on the daf. Memasmeis pekuei, meluchloch tzavaro bedama, shenikra tzavaro, betarot tzarech limdok besimanim, shemenifsak hakana, onikev habeshet, mishum safik drusa. So we'll listen to this. So now, there's blood on the neck. So something happened. So we'll say, what are the possibilities? Possibility number one is that maybe the trachea was cut. Now, the good news about that is, even if there's a cut in the trachea, right, as long as it's not 51% cut, the animal is fine. Right? On the other hand, maybe there was a perforation in the esophagus. Any esophageal perforation ultimately is going to render the animal a trefa. So the shaila just is, now this goose is here, what do you do? What do you do? The Gemara says, Amar Rava, hechi navid, what should we do? Amid beis, hechi navid, nishchete v'hadr nivdike. So maybe we should just shecht it, right? Let's just shecht it, and then check it afterwards, and we can see what happens afterwards. So Mar says, Dilma b'makom nekav kashachet. Here's the problem. I'll say, maybe there was a perforation. And where was the perforation? Right where you shecht it. Now again, I want to point something out. In general, why don't you say that like every time you shecht? Right? Maybe the animal was a trefa, but you can't see the trefa now because why? Because right where you cut, there was a hole. So remember again, in general, we don't say that. Here, this case is different. Why is this case different? Because we see there's a problem. So when you see there's a problem, that's what you have to be choshish. Which both says the tremendous most of Haskell in general, which is don't make problems where there are no problems. Right? Sometimes if it doesn't look like there's a problem, there's no problem. Sometimes we become so focused on finding fault that we look for it everywhere. So again, when there's a need for concern, okay, we have to address it. But if there's no need for concern, we assume that everything is fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, "Don't walk on nakav kashachet nivdika v'hadar nishkat." So maybe we should check it first and then shecht it afterwards. Here's the problem: Amar Rava veshet elo bedika mibachutz ela mibifnim. Here's what I will say: you can't check the esophagus from the outside. You could only check the esophagus after shechita. So Amar Rav Yosef Brei. Nivdike lakana. So why don't we do this? Let's first check the trachea. Right? You check the trachea. Vinishchete lakana. And then go ahead and let's look at the trachea. If trachea looks good, then what? Cut it. Once you cut it, what's happened? Shkayach. The bird is gishacht, right? The bird is properly slaughtered. We're good to go. Then Bahadr lafkua leveshet lifdike. Then you can get in there. Go ahead and take out the esophagus and look at it. Shabbosai points to Amar Rava. Rava says, Chachim Yosef Berei Betrefes Kabi Yochanan. So Rava said, my son, Yosef, is so wise when it comes to Trefes like Rabbi Yochanan. Again, I will say, what's the pshat like Rabbi Yochanan? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is right across. Chachim Yosef Berei Betrefes Kabi Yochanan. Darminam Perakidanosha Shadrali Shmuel Tleser Gamli Safek Sveki the Trefasa Lemivdike Begavayu. So apparently, we'll see this later on. But Shmuel sent to Rabbi Yosef 13 camels filled with trefus, right? In order for Rabbi Yochanan to check them, because this is how proficient Rabbi Yochanan was. So interestingly enough, so he says over here, my son Rabbi Yosef is so proficient, ultimately again in trefus, My son Yosef is so proficient in trefus like Rabbi Yochanan. Now that's beautiful, wonderful compliments from a father to a son. But what's the point for us? The point for us is, if you notice, what was the Gemara's Eitzah with the goose? What was the Gemara's Eitzah? Shech the trachea. That way, again, the animal is gishacht, right? The animal is slaughtered. Then afterwards, you'll check the esophagus. If the esophagus is intact, you're good to go. If not, it's a trefa. You can't eat it. Point is what? It said just shech the trachea. What do you see from here? You see from here that when it comes to shechting of a bird, either simen is absolutely fine. Therefore, the Gemara says, Alma echa de kamar, oh hi. Therefore, what do you see from here? That when the Mishnah said shecht a simen means anyone you want. And Abosai, that is indeed how we paskin halacha lemaisa. That ultimately, again, a bird only requires one simen. And which simen? Which simen? Anyone you want. Either the esophagus or the trachea, doesn't matter to us. Incredible. Rabbi Huda Omer Ashi Yishchot. So we'll say, okay, so now this is very interesting. Now Rabbi Huda came along and he said that you have to go ahead in addition, so by a bird, in addition to going ahead and shechting one simen, you also have to shecht the vridin. Now again, I'll say, remember I mentioned when we did the Mishnah, there's a machlokes by the vridin, is it the jugular veins or the carotid arteries? So again, the idea over here, as we're going to see, is by a bird, you dafka want pshchita to create of an intense flow of blood. You want to drain the animal of its, the bird, zdafka by fowl, we're going to see. You want to drain the fowl of its blood immediately upon shechita. So now watch this. This is really very interesting. So the Gemara says as follows. So Amar Rav Chisda, lo Amar Rabbi Yehuda ala ba'of. This is very interesting. Rabbi Yehuda only said it's only an obligation to shecht the vridin by birds, not by animals. Why? Hoel v'tzalu kulu ke'echad. Because we'll say birds, fowl, were often roasted whole. So because they are roasted whole, the only real opportunity you had to drain the blood from the animal was by shechita. However, aval behema, kaven de menascha ever lo tzarech. By animals, we'll say in general, what do you do after you shecht an animal? What do? You cut it up, right? You cut it up. So because you butcher it, because you cut it up, the blood naturally drains because all of the pieces are being cut up. So therefore, again, animals do not need, behemas and chayas do not need the cutting of the vridin, because there's a natural draining of blood that happens with the butchering of the animal. Birds, fowl, however, was apparently like customarily roasted whole. So because of that, how do you drain the blood effectively? That's what Rabbi Huda says, cut the vridin. Cut the vridin. L'memra, the time that Rabbi Huda mishum dam. So I'm saying, well, interestingly enough, what that makes it sound like is, the reason Rabbi Huda says you have to cut the vridin is because of blood. Is that true? Vatna, we learned, Rabbi Huda omer, ad shi yishchot es havridin. So they will say, here's what's interesting. Rabbi Huda used lashon of shechita, right? He says that bird is only kosher when you shecht the vridin, which makes it sound like what? Makes it sound like what? That the cutting of the vridin is not about the utilitarian drainage of blood, but rather, what is it? That it's part of shechita. It's part of the mitzvah of shechita. To which the Gemara says, Ema ad shi'enakev es avridin. No. So say, he didn't mean to use the lashon of shechita by vridin. He meant until you pierce the vridin. Until you pierce the vridin, umay ad shi'yishchot. Suppose we're going to see this. What does it mean ad shi'yishchot? Ad shi'enakev b'shas shechita. Suppose what we're going to see is like this. The cutting of the vridin is not part of the mitzvah of shechita. In other words, so if you went ahead and you, let's say, shechted the animal and you didn't cut the vridin, the animal could still be kosher. But the idea over here is the vridin are supposed to be pierced at the dafka, at the time of the shechita. Why that is, we're going to discuss in just a few moments. So Tashma, let's analyze. Vridin b'shechita de Rabbi Huda. Almost here's the problem. Right, the Braisa says over here, Rabbi Huda says, vridin are b'shechita, which seems to indicate that the cutting of the vridin is dafka part of shechita. Part of shechita. See what's being cleared over here? So let's go with what we know. Right, what do birds require? Birds require one simen. Right, that's what we know. Birds require one simen. That's number one, right? Number two, Rabbi Huda introduces us, you also have to cut the vridin. Now, we'll say the shayla is cutting the vridin, is that part of the mitzvah of shechita? Or no, it's just part of some type of utilitarian approach, because since fowl is often roasted whole, you need to drain the blood. How are you draining the blood? Of great, you're cutting the vridin. By a regular animal, you don't have to worry about vridin because you're cutting up the animal. The blood is draining by itself. By fowl, you have to cut the vridin. So the shaila is cutting of the vridin like part of the shechita itself, or ultimately, again, a utilitarian way of draining the animal from blood, draining the fowl from blood? So Tashma, vridin b'shechita. Rabbi Huda makes it sound like over here, that no, cutting of the vridin is actually part of shechita. Ema, vridin tzarech l'nakvon b'shas shechita. No, rather read it as, vridin have to be pierced at the time of Shechita, like Rabbi Yehuda. But cutting of the rindin themselves is not actually part of Shechita. So Tashma, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Me'achar Shlo Huskaruv Rindin, Allah Hotzi, Dat Mehendam, Mali B'Shechita, Mali Shlo B'Shechita. So what's it? It says Rabbi Yehuda, if at the end of the day, the cutting of the rindin is really only there to extract blood, right? It's not there. It's not there ultimately, again, as part of the Shechita. So then ultimately, again, what does it matter if you cut the Vridin with the Shechita or not? Mechlad Rabbi Huda Savar B'Shechita. It makes it sound like Rabbi Huda does require the Vridin to be cut with Shechita, to which the Gemara says, Halkamer, this is what it means to say, Mali Lenakvan B'Shas Shechita, Mali Lenakvan Shelo B'Shas Shechita. And I will say, in reality, Vridin are not part of the Shechita. They're not part of the Shechita. For a fowl, the only thing you need for Shechita is the cutting of one simen. Why do the Vridin have to be cut? As we just said before, because you need to drain the fowl of blood. Since fowl is normally roasted whole, you need to drain the fowl from blood. How do you do that? You go ahead and you cut the Vridin. So the Gemara says, but one second, why do the Vridin have to be cut at the time of Shechita? Let them be cut later on. Let them be cut later on after Shechita. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. V'usavar, b'shas Shechita asi dam dechayim, shelo b'shas Shechita lo asi dam dekarir. So we'll say, listen to this, a very important distinction. When at the time of Shechita, the blood is warm. When the blood is warm, it flows out much more freely. As opposed to after Shechita, when the animal is dead, so the blood cools down, I guess also begins to congeal, right? It makes it, blood flow is more stymied, right? Blood flow is lessened. So therefore, again, if the goal over here is to drain the animal of blood, you dafka want to cut the vridin at the time of Shechita. So it's interesting, right? So halacha l'maisa, what the Gemara seems to be saying is, the cutting of the vridin is a utilitarian measure to drain the animal of blood. Therefore, it is not part of, per se, of the Shechita of the animal. So therefore, again, if you don't cut the vridin with the Shechita knife, okay, you want to stab it, that's fine. But the vridin do have to be cut at the time of the Shechita. Why? Practically, because that's the time when the blood will flow out more easily. Wait and the blood will not flow. To which the Gemara asks a follow-up shayla. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Vridin Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the Vridin current Rabbi Yehuda, Shah Bahen, Daras Bahen Mahu. So we'll say, let's say again, you did one of the Pesulei Shechita by Vridin, right? Shah means you tarried, Daras, you pressed the knife down. What's the halacha? Amalei Usaba. I will say, because the cutting of the vridin is not part of Shechita, even if you pierced it with a thorn, right, that's fine. They go, remember again, vridin are not part of Shechita. Why am I cutting the vridin? Why am I doing this? In order to go ahead and extract the blood. Tanya Kavasi, Rav Chista, Shachat, Shnei Chatzoi, Simon, and Ba'ov, Pasal. If you shafted two half simanim by a bird, right? It's going to be possible, which makes sense. Why is it possible? What does a bird require? One simon. But how much of that simon? How much? Right? Majority. So if you cut two half simanim of a bird, it's going to be possible. Things are called behema. And certainly by behema, Rabbi Huda says, ba'oth achiyishchot esaveshet ve'esavridin. Ultimately, again, by a bird, you have to shecht the veshet and the vridin. So we'll say, what you begin to see over here is something very interesting, which is halacha l'maisa, are the vridin part of the shechita or not? So this seems to be an ongoing machlokes. Ultimately, again, now here's what's interesting. Everyone is agreeing you have to cut the vridin, right? And everyone is agreeing, why do you have to cut the vridin? Because fowl is often roasted whole, and therefore you're not getting proper blood extraction like you would by an animal that's being butchered, cut up into pieces, and the blood is flowing out like that. The shaila is the cutting of the vridin part of the shechita or not? Or not? So we'll say that seems to be a machlokes. But halacha l'maisa, again, we'll see what we'll see tomorrow what halacha l'maisa is actually. What do you do with the vridin? But it seems to be clear. Everyone's agreeing you need it, right? Whether it has to be part of the shechita or not itself, we'll see. But one thing else is clear, which is it has to be cut at the time of the Shechita. It only works if you cut it along with the Shechita, at the time of the Shechita. Because Halacha L'maaseh said that's when the blood is warm, and that's when the blood will actively flow out of the fowl. Let's begin the next sugya a little bit. Chatzi echad ba'uf. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah said that Halacha L'maaseh, if you shecht half of a simon by a bird, right, or one and a half simanim by a behema, the shechita is possible, right? Because again, by bird you need the majority of one simon, by behema you need the majority of two simanim. So we'll just start this. The Gemara says, Itmar, Rav Amar Mechza al Mechza. So we'll say, this is so interesting. What happens if 50% of the simon is cut? 50% is cut, right? What's the halacha over there? Mechza al Mechza, Kirov. Rav says, interestingly enough, that 50-50 has the status of majority. So 50% of the siman is cut, that's considered to be as if the majority of the siman is cut. Rav Kana says, no, mechza mechza in a kerov. By 50-50 is not rov. So watch this. Rav amar mechza mechza kerov. Rav says 50-50 is like rov. Hachi amar rachmana lemoshe lo tishai ruba. So this is interesting. So Rav says 50-50 is like rov. Why? Because what Chashmarov was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu was, do not leave 51% of the siman uncut. Okay, so 50% is cut. That means you don't have 50. You don't have a majority that's uncut, right? Don't leave 51% of the siman unsevered. Interesting. On the other hand, Rav Kahana Amar Mechza Mechza Inukarov. Rav Kahana said no. 50-50 is not rov. Why? Hakiram the Rachman of the Moshe Shachat Ruba. No, Cheshbar was telling Moshe, cut 51%. So Moshe, you hear this? It's not semantics, it's so fascinating. What's the definition of rov? Does the definition of rov simon mean don't leave 51% uncut, in which case, again, if 50% is cut, you're good to go? Or no, is the halacha Moshe we've seen, I cut 51%, in which case, if only 50% is cut, it's not valid. Moshe, we'll stop over here for today. What a run. Excellent job, everyone. Excellent job. Shkayach, everyone. What a day. All right, everyone's going to have a great day. Dr. Lasker, Shalom Aleichem.